Well, hello, here I am, Jax, with Chatting Tracks with Jax, and here is Jackie, my studio guest. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
It's brilliant to have you here, my first victim. And as I say, I gave that little trailer about what links Newcastle Brown, Heather Honey and Roman Britton, and we'll come to that a little bit later.
Easy answer, Jackie.
Yeah, it is for you, you've got insider knowledge. But obviously, Jackie, you're there at with Neil and the family at Dollington Dairy, but you're not a Northumberland lass. You're like me, you're a blow-in. You're a Yorkshire lass.
Oh, yes, Yorkshire born and bred, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so give us a bit of background about how you ended up here.
Well, I suppose like so many people, I met a man and ended up moving up to where he is. I was born and bred in Yorkshire. I studied at Newcastle University, and after that time, I did a little bit of travelling. And then met my husband, Neil, and the rest, as they say, is history. I went to work up in Aberdeen, and we did an awful lot of commuting for a while, but then I managed to find another job down here, and met him and got married.
So but you didn't get involved in the farm straight away. I think initially you had a different profession.
Yes, when we met I was a student, but I managed to keep working away, and then I was working as a lecturer down in Newcastle. And when we first were married, I spent a bit of time, well, a few years commuting up and down from the farm to Newcastle.
Oh, right, yes. And but then the advent of a family, I think things changed.
Yes.
And had some ideas.
Yeah, baby number one came along, and the commuting became a bit more of a chore. It wasn't so easy with a little baby. And so we were at that point on the farm already making cheese. Neil, my husband, and his sister were making cheese, had been doing for a few years. He has a couple of other brothers who also work on the farm, and they were still producing quite a lot of milk on the farm. So we had spare capacity for other enterprises. And we thought, well, is there other things we could do? We had this background of a cheese business, and we looked around, and at that point there was no other real ice cream makers between really Aberdeen and Yorkshire. So we saw this gap in the market and thought we'd give it a go.
And really, I suppose that was a creative way of dealing with some of the challenges that then and still now faced farming in the farming industry. I mean, it's a big deal. You've got to be creative, haven't you?
Absolutely. I mean, as we know, Northumberland's fairly rural. There aren't always that many opportunities around. You have to sort of look and think, what can we do that's a little bit different? We were also looking at a background of falling milk prices, so things on the farm weren't always so great either. So I think where we are, it's not always that easy to sort of necessarily find a milk buyer. We were looking at ways of really sort of solidifying what we were doing on the farm, as well as creating employment on the farm. We have a big family, as I've said, all employed, but also created other jobs for people in the locality by adding these enterprises onto the farm.
I like the idea of solidifying milk, which is practically and,
absolutely
in the cheese. I was quite interested when we were chatting earlier, because apropos of cheese, I mean, cheese isn't something that just happens overnight, and there was quite a big research.
Oh yes,
process,
oh yes.
Which I think led into the other business.
Yeah, no, certainly the cheese business, it's not something you think, oh, I'll do this week and we'll start selling next week. Many of our cheeses have matured for up to a year, sometimes longer. So you might be making your cheese today, but it won't actually be ready until after next Christmas. So you don't know what the results are going to be like. So it was very much a slow sort of evolving way of creating a business. And that was okay with the cheese. We did that a lot. Lots of cheese was unfortunately didn't make the grade. We sat off with a bucket in the kitchen sink, and but we also had lots of fun, because I mean, we did some research trips. We went across to France, we went across to Holland, looked at some of the artisan producers you see across in these other countries, which is really interesting.
Yes.
Very different from some of the cheese produced here.
Do they all sort of produce broadly along this, I mean, use the same methods, or do you have, is there as many methods as there are cheese makers?
Oh, absolutely, hundreds and hundreds of different methods, really. And I suppose they're all using principally the same basic recipe, the same basic principle of curdling your milk to make cheese. But there's different ways you brine it in different methods. You would take the curds out of the whey, or you take the whey away from the curds, and they all make very subtle differences to the cheese. But also they're all produced, the milk is produced in different environments. The cows are eating different things, and that will have a great influence, particularly on raw milk cheeses like our cheeses.
Mm. I have to say I'm a bit slow on the uptake, and it was only when someone who was talking about chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking, I'd had some chocolates from Jersey, and saying how rich and delicious they were. I mean, yeah. I love chocolate. And
don't we all?
But this guy, who's also a chocolate maker, actually in Berwick, he was saying that, yes, because of the Jersey milk, it gives a very different flavour. And of course, it's obvious when you say it, but it just hadn't occurred to me.
Well, I suppose often when milk has, say, been pasteurised, it's taken a lot of those differences out. And what we've done by producing a raw milk cheese is that you still get you can sort of taste what taste what the cows are eating, but it has an influence because we're allowing those flavours to develop in the cheese. And like you say, with the same with the milk and the chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got some cheeses there.
Yeah.
Jackie's brought into the studio, I should say, for listeners, four different cheeses. So am I going to be
allowed
to
try
one?
Would you like to try some?
Yes, please.
Well, I guess not necessarily all of your listeners will know what cheeses we do produce. So I've brought a range of four here. And by all means, help yourself, Jack. There's a knife there, and get stuck in.
Brilliant.
It's often easier. Some of them are really quite very sort of strong, full flavoured. So we maybe would start with something like the Cuddy's Cave that you've got there.
I was going to say, this one is sort of fairly pale in colour, and it's got a nice rind on it, but again, a sort of gentle rind.
It's a natural rind. Yes. It just develops as the cheese matures. So that's the Cuddy's Cave.
It smells quite fruity.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of a mellow Dale style
Here
cheese,
we go.
Really.
Eating on air, ideal.
Can we hear you chomping?
Oh yeah, well, probably. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but sweet in a sort of meadow way.
It's a sort of, it's a mellow sort of, it's a younger cheese compared with, say, our Doddington, which you'll see there with the red rind, which would be a sort of a 12 months old sort of cheddar Leicester style. So you're used to something that's just a more typical traditional cheddar style taste.
Fabulous. And I have to say, that is very, very tasty. I like it. Really, I need the huge glass of red wine with it as well. With me in the studio here at Lionheart Radio on 107.3 FM, I have Jackie Maxwell from Doddington Dairy. And she's brought in all sorts of samples of stuff just for me, which is great. And Berwick Edge is very different, Jackie, to the last one I tried. It's got a sharper edge to it. Mm-hmm. And
This is really based on a sort of a Dutch Gouda style. I mean, it has evolved, so it's not what necessarily the Dutch would recognise now as a Gouda, but that's how we would describe it. And it does have a fruitiness and a tanginess. Mm. And when people say, what's your strongest cheese? Because often that's how they want to sort of look at cheeses. I would probably point them in the direction of the Berwick Edge. It isn't the oldest, but it has a sort of a kick to it, really, that you'll get.
Yeah, to me it's quite different from Dutch Gouda, well, inevitably from Dutch Gouda, but yes, it's got a much richer, more golden colour to it there.
Yeah.
And we were just chatting as Joan Armour Trading was playing about social networking, and what a big role that plays now, obviously, personally, but in business.
Yeah, social media, I think probably a couple of years ago, probably most of us had never really sort of done much with it at all. We didn't quite know what to do, and I think we all just sort of maybe, well, not all of us, but a few of us sort of dipped our feet in and thought, well, we'll have a go. It doesn't seem to be a bad way to go. Everything, advertising now is horrendously expensive, and as a business, we look at social media and think, well, actually, it's a great way to talk to consumers. I've talked about farmers markets and shows as being a way of talking directly to people, but social media is very similar, really, except you're doing it on your phone or on the PC or whatever.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and I've noticed that you're a great tweeter.
Oh yes.
And you also, I mean, Doddington has a Facebook page.
Yeah, those are the two channels excuse me, I would use most of the time, really. I see them probably quite differently. I tweet, really. I mean, a lot of it's drivel, I think. But it's really a way of letting people know about what we're doing as a business. I put a little bit of personal stuff in there, but it's mainly business related. What's happening on the farm? What are we doing? Where are we going? Perhaps if we've got a farmer's market this weekend, where are we going to be? And the Facebook page is lovely for putting up pictures, and again for people to post things on to let us know. The other day I posted a question. We were thinking about new ice cream flavors. What does everybody wanted? And I think I got 50 odd replies in an hour. So what fantastic way of getting information from people.
Well, maybe we'll get more stuff flooding in here.
Who knows? Yeah. I can't promise we'll make them all.
But Jackie, the other thing I was going to ask about social media in particular is that it has just become so prevalent, and there is a sort of real blurring, as you say. There's quite a lot of drivel.
Yeah,
I'm not suggesting that you are tweeting drivel or indeed.
I don't put my lunch on every day, I promise.
However, you know, it's also blurred the line between personal and business in some ways, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult because as a business, you don't always want to put all of your personal life on there. You may want to keep some segregation, but also as a business, if you're just putting out there sort of adverts for your business, it's not very interesting for people just to sort of to see that again and again. So I suppose it's up for everybody individually to decide where they draw the line. And I guess for us, we are a family business based on the farm, so that line is always a little bit blurry anyway, and we just have to find where we're comfortable with, really.
Yes, I think it's true that you're one of your USPs, if you like, mm-hmm. is that you're a family business. But there's a difference, isn't it, to opening, bearing the soul of your family yeah. through your business, which would be a bit uncomfortable.
Well, certainly, and possibly isn't very comfortable for everybody else to know the ins and outs of everything that's going on in our family, really. And also, I have children, and I think I have a responsibility not to necessarily bear everything that they're doing in public domain, really. They have friends. That they may not want to know, that they may not want the information out there. So we have to be a little bit careful
with
that.
Yeah, so it's one thing having your kind of teenage child sort of walking 10 paces either in front or behind you in
most
the high street because they don't want to be associated with another when they come home and say, "Mum, why did you broadcast about my braces or whatever?"
Absolutely,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think sometimes it's easy to sort of lose that. But as you say, from a business point of view, it really does link up with other people. I mean, I would imagine that you can make contacts that way and develop.
Yeah, I mean, we've got inquiries and new customers on Twitter, which is fantastic, and Facebook as well. And I think possibly that is the way. We're in a much more immediate world, and hotel may say right, and they know that they'll get an answer from me on Twitter probably in an hour or two, rather than having to sort of go through the whole process of ringing up and somebody coming out to visit. And I think that's the way the world's moving, really.
Earlier you mentioned that when you first looked into doing ice cream, there was no one producing between, was it Aberdeen and...
Yeah, Yorkshire, really, back in those days.
Of course, things have changed. You've
Absolutely.
Got quite a lot of competition now, I would say.
And there's a few people now making ice cream, and that's great. I mean, I think I would feel that there's a lot of dairy farmers out there that have had a hard time, and this is one way that they can add value to their milk. So, and really, hopefully there's room for everybody out there. We've all just got to eat more ice cream and support everybody.
I'm not struggling with eating more ice cream right now. It's the perfect combination. But the other thing is that also, I mean, it's not Archer. Of course, the Archers, they're making ice cream and yogurts and
oh,
stuff
yes.
as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Everybody's doing it, you
yeah,
see.
Exactly.
But hopefully we're all doing it maybe in a slightly different way. We really try and focus on our natural ingredients where we can, and using our ice cream as a way of working with other businesses and celebrating Northumberland and the North East, really. And that's the way we've sort of done ice cream. We've got our Roman range of ice creams,
yes.
which sell very well down sort of the Hadrian's Wall area of Northumberland, and other people do other things. So we like I say, hopefully there's room for everybody out there.
Well, they always say if there's a cafe set up in business opposite them, and you're both too well, don't they? It's a sort of
absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't want it not to work like that, really.
Jackie, what's the furthest you've sent a piece of cheese?
Gosh, well, it was being sold in America for a while, so. That was a while, but somebody once phoned up and said their son was eating a piece of Doddington in Japan, and we really don't know how it got there, but he must have bought it locally. But I mean, the cheese is very different from the ice cream. The ice cream obviously goes in a freezer van, so we generally deliver most of that ourselves. Cheese will often go through wholesalers, and is quite a lot is sold in London and further afield, so it is easier to take cheese
yeah.
elsewhere.
I'm just trying to imagine kind of Doddington sushi.
Yum! Nice.
So, and we were also just chatting about Northumberland life and just how much we both like living
Absolutely,
in Northumberland.
Absolutely, yeah, love it.
If you had to highlight a few things that you just really think are special about living around this area, around Alnwick and Northumberland, what do you think they might
well,
be?
I think on a daily basis, every day I drive past the Cheviots and think, oh, look up at the Cheviots and just think, wow, they look different every single day. They go into the distance with the light with one day, the snow's on the other another day, and they just look stunning all the time. So I love that every day. But I also just, I'm in awe of the fact that we can drive out to the coast where we have Holy Island. When we had the song On Top of the World, I drive across Kylo and look out and I see Bamburgh Castle in front of me, Holy Island to the left, and I just think, wow, that's fantastic. And we have scenes like that every place we go, really. It's fantastic. On top of that, we have the castles, which and I think one of the things with doing ice cream is many of the sort of visitor attractions around Northumberland have embraced taking on local products, so they're selling ice cream. So even when we're delivering ice cream, which isn't maybe the most exciting job, you get to drive up to Lindisfarne Castle and take the van to the very top of there, which is an experience in itself. So I get to see a lot of interesting places, really.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I can see it's quite a good way of seeing the countryside and making money at the same time.
Well, if only.
But so how far does your ice cream go then? If it's in a van, it's not going to go, you say.
Yeah, generally we go the furthest north. We probably take the ice creams up into Fife. We've got a great farmers a farm shop up there. So we go up there in Edinburgh, a few outlets in Edinburgh, and then down into sort of we were heading down into Yorkshire really, but that's about as far, and then across to the west, sort of the Cumbria border really. So it's very much northeast based, and that's what we enjoy really.
Yes, well, if I ever manage to get to Japan, which I think I'd like. I'll look out for Doddington's.
Absolutely.
Cheese,
so. I can't tell you which shop it is yet, I'm afraid.
I want to really thank you for coming in and sharing my inaugural chat and tracks with Jax. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've certainly enjoyed hearing about the business and hearing about the cheese. I've enjoyed tasting it. I'm only sorry more people couldn't enjoy it and couldn't taste it. But thank you so much.
Absolutely. No, thank you very much. And I'll let you all know she looks very confident, honestly.
Of course I do.
No, thank you very much.